Welcome to Have You Heard. Have You Heard is a weekly discussion with musicians and people that just love music, where we get to ask you, hey, have you heard? Each week, Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer will discuss their favorite music or the music other musicians and artists simply couldn't live without. Find and explore new favorite music you didn't know you loved with hosts Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer. Welcome to Have You Heard. Good evening. You're listening to Have You Heard here on WICR 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Rich Dole, and I am very honored to be sharing the studio with a very good friend of mine, a musical criminal, if you will. somebody who you know and love, who plays all over town and is the most creative person I have ever met in my life, Mr. Sean Baker. Welcome to Have You Heard.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And I don't say that lightly. When you said, what was it, last summer, maybe last fall? No, it was last summer. You said, hey, I'm working on a musical. You know, sometimes if somebody says that to me, I'd be like, okay, great. Yeah, sure you are. But when you said it, I'm like, when is it coming out? When is it happening? And you started playing some of the music. You already had that going down. So you have a musical, the Sean Baker musical. What is it? What's it called, first of all?
Well, it's called The Perfect Ten. And yes, it is sort of a Sean Baker reality show on stage.
Uh-huh.
That's such a popular phenomenon these days. But never done in theater. But in reality, it's sort of self-autobiographical. Some of it's fiction, although most of it's made up. Some of it's fiction.
Okay.
Some of it's real, most of it's fiction. But if you remember an old film from 1979 called Ten, starring Dudley Moore, Julie Andrews, and Bo Derek.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bo Derek's first big claim to fame. If you remember this slow motion running down the beach with the beads in her hair and the Ravel's Bolero music. That's the film I'm referencing. So what I did was kind of place myself into that film, but tell my own story.
Yeah.
So it's based on me, but it's kind of done as an homage to that film, an homage to Blake Edwards, who was the writer and director, and musically sort of an homage to Henry Mancini, who was a mentor of mine way back since high school. Through mail, I would send him arrangements and he would write back and
really
tell me what I was doing right or wrong, mostly wrong because I was just starting. But
I didn't know this about you. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Really? Because you hear about these correspondences so often, at least back, you know, before email and, you know, people actually wrote letters. But I didn't know that you sent arrangements to Henry Mancini.
Well, his concertmaster in the Midwest was Dick Dennis, who happened to be
I knew Dick, yeah.
He happened to be the orchestra teacher at my high school. And between classes, you know, I was obsessed with Mancini way back since like 17. And, you know, which was just a few years ago, of course.
Of course.
But Dick would hear me play all these Mancini tunes, and he's like, Sean, you know, I work for Henry Mancini. And I'm like, no, I need to meet him right now. And so he just had me write a letter, and he handed it to him, and Hank wrote back. And
so it began.
Yeah.
Wow. 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 See, that's I love that because, you know, I teach a lot of students these days, and they're kind of listless. They're kind of not focused. Some of them are sort of, but not really. And every now and then there's somebody that is just so focused on, they know exactly what they want to do. And you're one of those people. You know, I knew that I wanted to play music, but I didn't know what that meant. But you knew, like, from day one that you wanted to be a lounge piano player or something along those lines. Because, like, you often tell me, like, oh, I went to IU, and if they had a lounge piano degree, I would have majored in that.
Well, I might start a course there and be the professor eventually when I grow up. Actually, I wanted to be a film composer because I wanted to follow in Mancini's footsteps.
Of course.
Life just took me down loungy paths, and I've remained in polyester ever since. If you don't know Leisure Kings, that's kind of been my claim to fame the last decade.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to get into the description of the musical and everything. But first, before we do that, why don't we just let everybody know where you're playing around town on a weekly basis.
One of my regular hangs, as they say, is Chef Joseph's at the Connoisseur Room, which is down on 115 East Ohio Street. It's been there about 3 years, and it's very much a New York-style supper club-type restaurant. There's a baby grand piano. I'm pretty much the house pianist. And then different nights of the week, I work with different vocalists, most of Indy's finest,
yes,
like Brenda Williams, Gina McLaughlin, Julie Houston, Cosette Myers. The list goes on and on. So we're very lucky to have that talent, and I'm very lucky to get to play with all of these singers and take on the role of house pianist, which doesn't really exist. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights, except for right now because I'm in rehearsals, but Tuesday nights normally, starting back in June, I'll be once again playing every Tuesday at Downtown Ollie's, which is more of a neighborhood pub. So I bring in my own little electronic keyboard and do vocals and lounge music and sometimes have guest singers like Wendy Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. Other than that, you can catch me at First Congregational Church every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, at one point you had like 5 or 6 steadies a week. I mean, you still do, right? I mean, every time I talk to you, you're like playing every single night. It's amazing.
I play pretty much every night. That's kind of my main bread and butter.
Yeah. You know, it's impressive. I mean, as somebody that plays to make a living, that's really impressive. And I commend your gumption.
Well, you know, I'm single. I only have a cat to take care of. And I don't, you know, live very extravagantly. So I have the luxury of living this kind of lifestyle. You know, I'm not too humble to do dirty work. I work for my landlord as a custodian during the day, but, you know.
Why not?
Custodian by day, music maker by night, you know. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a nice balance.
Well, you're an amazing player, and you're very flexible throughout every musical genre that I know exists. And there's probably some I don't know that exist, and you can probably play those as well. So let's get into this musical, a stage play. It's a play. It's a musical.
Well, a lot of people would probably consider it a musical because, heck, there's 32 pieces of music in it. So, but in reality, it's a dramatic comedy with music, what they call in the genre a play with music. And the reason I call it that, you could call it a subconscious musical, I suppose.
Oh.
But the way the music serves the show is that, you know, we don't all of a sudden just break out in a scene like, okay, now we're going to do a dance number that has nothing to do with anything.
So there's no soft shoe in this?
Well,
there is.
There is a dance number, but it's in context. I guess what I'm getting at is all the music that's performed live in the show is in context of the scene, such as we're at a cabaret restaurant and we're in a rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
So the song is naturally part of the reality of the scene, not just breaking out. But lyrically, the songs are subconscious to what's going on in my character. So it kind of does work for the story, but at the same time, it also plays in reality.
Okay.
And the lyricist, Peter Oprisco, I've worked with him for years. He lives up in Chicago. And like me, he was mentored by the famous Sammy Kahn in much the similar way that I was with Mancini. So... You know, if I could be so daring as to say this music is Mancini and Kahn.
Inspired, at least.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so let's get the details. June 5th is opening night.
June 5th, and it runs through July 4th. It will be at
Theater on the Square.
On Mass Ave.
And are you playing? You're the main character.
I am the main protagonist.
The protagonist, yes. Oh, man. All these theater words.
Well, what's interesting, if anyone knows anything about Blake Edwards, a lot of his classic films, his protagonists were not the superhero type, the big, buff, handsome, you know, I'm the hero of the story. all of his protagonists were kind of normal, average guys, sometimes somewhat nerdy like me. Mm-hmm. They tended to always be artists or photographers or musicians, alcoholics. And the point of his approach to telling a story was that he would put a character like that as a protagonist, but break down the character to make him go through a process of learning a lesson. But instead of doing it in a tragic way, he would use his signature slapstick humor, but not just as a one-time gag. It would be a thing where the slapstick is narrative to the story. It leads the story on. Mm-hmm. So it breaks down the character while you get some laughs. But by the end of the story, he's resolved whatever problem the character was going through. And so that's what I tried to do with this story. Even though it's original, I tried to write it in the style of a Blake Edwards film, whereas I'm being constantly splurched, meaning that's the sound a pie makes when it hits your face. So not literally a pie in my face, but every time I get involved in a splurch, it's slapstick humor, which breaks down my character and leads me to the end of my resolution.
Mm. Well, why don't we play some music? We got to play some music, and then we can talk about the how it went from an idea to being performed. I mean, that's lots of steps there, I would imagine. But take us through a musical journey here. Let's play a few tracks.
Okay. Well, before we play it, I'll let you know that a lot of the music in the show also is played as background soundtrack or incidental or transition, along with some video and screen stuff, so that it is somewhat cinematic, which I know is a no-no in theater, but it's the only thing that worked for this show. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm breaking tradition. So a lot of the music in the show you'll hear clips of when you see it live, but I've recorded full versions to sell as a CD, and I'm calling it a soundtrack, not a cast album, because it really is a soundtrack. Yeah. CD. So let's play a couple.
Okay. What do you want to play?
We'll start with one of the very first songs in this show. It's called Bear Island Road. It's based on a road in Orlando, Florida, where my partner and I used to go hang out and cruise. And it inspires a little one-minute film montage that takes us from 1995 to 2013, where the show then begins.
Okay. Bear Island Road. This is from Sean Baker's upcoming musical debut,
yeah,
The Perfect Ten.
And this actually is a piece that I wrote in 1995, but I've very much scored it to sound like Henry Mancini-style music. So.
Of course. Here it is, Bear Island Road. Thank you. Two tracks from The Perfect 10, Sean Baker's upcoming musical debut, right here on Have You Heard. I'm Rich Dole, your host. In the studio, we have Sean Baker.
The music maker.
The music maker talking with us. That was Bear Island Road and then Lucky's Place. And Sean, the music sounds, I mean, you said you're influenced by Henry Mancini, and I know George Shearing is a big person in your musical history, but I mean, this stuff sounds like it was written. It's like vintage, vintage music. Like you just found this at a pawn shop somewhere, and like, oh, I'm gonna check out the sounds of the lounge from 1967. You put it on the record player, and like, oh, I'll just use this in a musical. But you wrote every note that's in this.
I wrote it, orchestrated it. Yes. Yeah, George Shearing is also an influence, so that's good you played Lucky's Place second. Lucky's Place, see, I don't want to give away too much about what's in the show, so I'm picking some of the incidental music. Mm-hmm. Lucky's Place is a piece of music that is named after the cabaret club that takes place in a few scenes in the show. It's called Lucky's Place, so that's what that's for.
Okay, so I want to. There's two things I want to ask you about, and one of them is the idea of the show, and then thinking, because here, I mean, like, all right, I play all over with people. I never thought, oh, I'm going to do a musical, and I know a lot of people that write music. They never think, as far as I know, I'm going to write a musical, or I'm going to be, I'm going to write a screenplay and or stage play. You know, script. So where did this idea come from that you would do all of this?
Well, there's two different angles it came from. One, I've done a lot of production work for Theater on the Square over the last 10 years, doing tracks for shows, orchestrating stuff, doing sound effect cues. And back in June of 2012, I had done a complete score for Dearest Mommy the Musical, which was kind of based on Mommy Dearest. And during that summer, we were all sitting around 4th of July trying to figure out new stuff for the new season, trying to go a new direction, get away from some of the campy stuff, mm-hmm. and tell some real stories. So then this idea came up, but actually it had festered for 10 years before that. As I said, being a fan of Mancini and Blake Edwards, naturally I discovered this film, 10, as a teenager. Now, the film involves a middle-aged person, actually Dudley Moore, his character is 42, and he's a pianist, and he's kind of left a long-term relationship with Julie Andrews. They didn't quite tie the knot yet, but they'd been dating for a long time. And he decides that he's going to recapture youth to avoid middle age pain by chasing after youthful fantasy and beauty, Bo Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I didn't quite understand that as a teenager, but I knew the film because I was studying Mancini and Blake Edwards. As I continued to get older and get closer to 42, regrettably, yes, it does, I started quickly realizing, wow, I really understand this movie. I really get it. And then, you know, around the age of 40, I left a long-term relationship, my Julie Andrews, so to speak. And I kind of went down the same path. I went crazy and got online and was chasing all kinds of youthful fantasy. And it just kind of hit me. Wow, you know, a lot of people look back on the film 10 and all they think about is, oh, yeah, that movie with Bo Derek. And there's a lot of nudity in it, of course. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have forgotten what a really touching and poignant story it is about relationships and that, you know, that normal middle-aged protagonist going through that struggle that everyone goes through.
Right.
And people don't really like to talk about that very much. And I'm like, well, what do I have to lose? I'm already the laughingstock of the lounge community. I don't care if they laugh at me on stage either. So that's kind of what happened.
Wow.
So it took me about 3 years to write it. From conception to note cards and story plots and mixing them around on the table, like, okay, this scene flows nicely into here, and then writing a script. Then it took about another year to kick and scream like a baby until I got my way and made them put it on.
Excellent. So persistence definitely is part of it. But and, you know, you've been – and through those years, you know, we would occasionally play gigs together, and so I would hear snippets of the, like, the nuggets, the kernels of these ideas being flushed out week in and week out. And I mean, there's some really beautiful stuff. I'd like to play a couple more tracks, if you don't mind, and then we can talk about how you recorded everything, because I think the way you do it is absolutely genius. And who would think of, like, oh yeah, I have a microphone, I can just record a full orchestra in my spare bedroom. And that's exactly what you've done.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we get into the heart of some of the really fun music, some of the music is just traditional jazz stuff. There are two pieces that I didn't write. We're only going to play one of them in this show. But there's an old Gus Kahn, Richard Whiting song written either in the late 30s or early 40s called My Ideal. And the reason I chose to use that in one of the scenes at Lucky's Place is because this whole story, as I'm trying to widen the audience to, multi-generations, my story is told from a 42-year-old gay man, whereas the original movie, was not that way. So in order to make it more universal, I was trying to think of, this song, My Ideal, way before my time, way before my parents' time, really says the same thing, that everyone at any time in life is always looking for that fantasy. And that's really what this show is about. And so I thought that was a perfect way to tie in multi-generations by using that song. And of course, in the show, it's just me at the piano and it's one chorus, but this is a fully rendered version featuring Jeff Conrad on trumpet in the middle. Doing beautiful. His best Chet Baker imitation, which I love.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, absolutely. Okay, My Ideal. Again, this is from Sean Baker's upcoming musical, Perfect 10. It opens June 5th at Theater on the Square. This is My Ideal.
Long ago, my heart and mind got together and designed the wonderful boy for me. Oh, what a fantasy. Though the idol of my heart can't be ordered a la carte, I wonder if he will be always a fantasy. Will I ever find the boy in my mind, the one who is my ideal? Maybe he's a dream, and yet he might be just around the corner waiting for me. Will I recognize the light in his eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass him by and never even know that he is mine? Eyes that no other eyes reveal, or will I pass him by and never even know that he is my ideal? Thank you.
Ideal and Orange Blossom, both tunes to be featured in the upcoming Sean Baker musical, Perfect 10. It's going to premiere at Theater on the Square. That's TOTS.org and Sean Baker Music.
SeanBaker.com.
SeanBaker.com. For more information, you can go to SeanBaker.com or TOTS.org.
Actually, go to TOTS.org instead. My website is still running 1999 HTML, and I don't think I've updated it in 5 years. So,
okay, perhaps TOTS.org would be better. But we're listening to music from the upcoming, what did you call it, a dark comedy with music?
A
dramatic comedy with music. Everything that you're hearing has been written, well, except for My Ideals and another tune that you've done arrangements on, but everything is original. Except for those two, and everything was recorded in your little apartment.
Yeah,
so, I mean, because I played on a track, and man, it's like the coolest thing to go in and to play just a couple parts here and there, and then less than a week later, I get an email. Here's the tune that you recorded, and it's fleshed out with a full band. I mean, like you just had one person come in at a time.
Yeah, I was lucky to have, aside from this wonderful cast with lots of veterans, actors, the soundtrack features a lot of Indianapolis's finest musicians. I had Jesse Whitman on bass, Mitch Shiner on drums and vibraphone, John Schwier playing the guitar, Julie Houston and Mike Strickland doing flute, alto flute specifically, which I love. That's a very Mancini thing.
Absolutely.
Mike also played alto sax. I had Jeff Conrad on trumpet. Who am I missing? I'm not sure. Oh, Kathy Morris and Mark Schuster provided the string parts, which was basically just violin and viola, which we multi-tracked about four times, and then I just put a touch of warm analog synth under it to just beef up the lack of cellos not being there. Or celli, sorry.
Celli. Yes, we're very proper here on this show.
Yeah, and then Rich Dole, right here with
right
me,
here.
Played
yeah.
trombone on a couple tracks.
Yeah.
And Sean played piano, but, you know, big deal.
And sang.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the production quality is great, and you don't suffer the or think, oh well, if everybody's just single tracking and layering it, that there's going to be a loss of fidelity or a loss of musicality or something like that, but it's not the case at all. I mean, everything sounds, everybody that's listening right now can attest to the fact that everything sounds great, like we were in Columbia Studios in LA and doing these beautiful full orchestra recordings.
Well, what I did was I first layered in tracks using my synthesizer, so everything was fake at first. But that way, when I brought in musicians, they would have something to play against. And then as I brought in the real bass player, I would drop out the fake bass player. And,
yeah.
You know, on and on until it was all put together. And, you know, the space we used was about, you know, I don't know how big the room was, but the space was about 5 feet by 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, getting Mitch's drums and vibes in there was the most problematic, but we did it. And, you know, this could either be a boast or it could be a joke on me if a real engineer is hearing this and hears things I'm not. But, you know, I was running it on Windows XP and a version of Cool Edit Pro from 2000. All production and post-production was done right there in that program. And I used a large diaphragm condenser mic that was pretty inexpensive, did the job.
Yeah.
But people would say, oh, God, you use that mic? It's a cheap mic. But
hey, man.
Whatever did the trick, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it sounds great. Not only that, but I mean, like, the writing is beautiful. And the voice leading and just everything is just so, it, you know, when I was playing it, I was like, okay, I'm not, as I layered each part, it started making more and more sense. And
yeah. Well, we'll probably play yours next then.
Okay, but, it's because it's really cool. And then to hear the finished product, I mean, I played it for like everybody, man. They're like, you did this in his little, you know, side bedroom? Like,
well,
yeah.
Long before I've been known as a lounge pianist here in the Leisure King, really my true strength early on was arranging and writing. And as I said, I learned a lot from Mancini. So a lot of my music sounds very much like Mancini, which is a good thing or a bad thing. It works for TV shows that like to buy my tracks. So
yeah, that's true. you do have a lot of tracks that are bought by TV shows.
Yeah, the way L.A. works now, I don't know if it's because of economy or it's just that's the new trend, but, you know, anytime a show wants something that sounds of a certain style or genre or a certain artist, it's very expensive to get a mechanical license for the recording, so they often seek out no-names like me who can imitate a style very well and, you know, basically get it for next to nothing. I mean, it's a lot of money to me, but to them it's like, oh, We're scamming this guy. But really, I'm represented by some lawyers. And, you know, they take half of the fee, but that's more than nothing, which I would have not gotten at all. And then some of it I split with my lyricist, Peter. And then I get royalties when it re-airs. So
wow.
I'm not rich from it, but, you know, it's nice to get a little mailbox money.
Oh, it's always cool on Facebook to see, oh, by the way, if you're watching the Mindy show tonight,
Mindy Project,
in the opening scene, that's my music. Or sometimes it's during a murder scene. There's like the camera pans over a murder scene and your happy Christmas music.
Yeah, that was an NCIS episode called Silent Night, the very opening. They're playing a recording of Peter and me from our Christmas album, and they just decide to. Yeah, I've had a lot of my songs, my happy loungy songs, put in like Criminal Minds, NCIS. you know, I've been on the Mindy Project, and you know, heck, I call it elevator music. You know, I'm not ashamed of that. You know, I'm very, just like Dudley Moore says in the film 10, I'm very big in elevators. And finally, I got a call from my agent saying, I forget the name of the show, but they wanted to use a piece of music actually while they were in an elevator.
Oh,
so I finally made it to real elevator music on TV. So I was very happy.
That's excellent. Congratulations, Sean.
Yeah.
Again, this is for The Perfect 10, the musical, the staged musical that's going to be opening at Theater on the Square on June 5th, running through July 4th. Sean Baker has written everything, and you're starring in it. You're going to be on stage. For more information, check out the website, Theater on the Square, TOTS.org. And right now, why don't we listen to some music? We did talk about trombone stuff.
Yeah, let's play the one you did. Mm-hmm. This is a piece called Slim Trim, because it takes place in I don't want to give too much away, but there's a spa.
A spa scene.
Yeah.
And there should, as
it
well,
involves
there should
some tremors.
Yeah.
And you know, as I was saying about the awkward protagonist, I tried to make some of the music equally as awkward, but palatable. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of a cross between, you know, 1940s trombone writing on top of early millennium Portishead electronica. So it's just kind of awkwardly mixing two genres together, but
it works.
It works very well.
It really does work. And since we mentioned some of your happy, loungy Christmas music, can we play It's Christmas Time?
Yeah, you want to talk about that now or after it's over? Or?
Maybe that's okay. Let's play Slim Trim and It's Christmas Time, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that, because it's
great. Speaking of your trombone playing on this forthcoming track, Glenn Miller would be so happy.
He would be.
Yeah.
He would be. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. it's Christmas time. The reindeer prance about, the Santa makes his rounds. Could there be any doubt that once again it's Christmas? Grace for peace on earth again, justice and joy can now begin. Seems like it only happens when it's Christmas time.
Two tracks from The Perfect Ten, Sean Baker's musical opening, June 5th at Theater on the Square. You're listening to Have You Heard here on WICR 88.7. I'm your host, Rich Dole. If you want to get in contact with us, we have email. It's called hyhjazz@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz. And we're going to post some Sean Baker stuff on there as we get closer to the show and to the opening night and everything. I'm really happy, Sean, that you agreed to come in. And I'm actually happy that you texted me and said, hey, I want to do a promo show for my musical. And I thought, cool. And now we're doing it.
Yeah, I didn't agree to come in. I strangled you and said, I'm coming in.
That's right. It just so happened I was here, which is fine, which is great. And it's been this music is great. Okay, so Slim Trim, you know, the Glenn Miller / Portishead arrangement, which is just the coolest thing. And you said you're going to have an album, a soundtrack available at the shows, or you'll have that. People will be able to buy the music if they...
Well, if you come see the show, you can purchase the CD for a nominal fee. And after May 23rd, which is my birthday...
Oh, happy birthday.
It should be released on iTunes as well.
Okay. So available on iTunes. Again, we'll have some of this information on our Facebook page, Have You Heard Jazz. And so we just listened to Slim Trim, and it's Christmas time, which is like almost like it drips with happiness that it's Christmas time.
Well, of course, you got to hear Kathy Morris and Mark Schuster doing their wonderful string parts. But the vocals, the chorus you heard, have you heard, is actually just Julie Houston and myself, multi-dubbed until we were like a 16-voice choir.
Wow.
And I kind of used a retro spring reverb effect and a certain mid-range to give it sort of that Ray Conniff choral sound from the 60s, because growing up, we used to always trim the tree to Christmas with Ray Conniff.
Of course. Yeah. Who didn't?
Now, in the show, it's just going to be the cast around the piano at Lucky's Place doing a little sing-along number for fun, but it's nothing story-related. It just takes place in December, so.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. We have, we're running out of some time here. We're down to about 10 minutes. So we got to get some more music in.
Let's just play a few short pieces.
Okay.
There's another piece that you played on, actually.
That's right.
Rescued. Mm-hmm. And some of the stage, I mean, some of the play, there, you know, all of it's on stage with acting, but there's a lot of multimedia stuff going on, some videos with underscoring, tying scenes together, even some screenshots of text messaging, which is going to be really fun to watch and how that interacts with the live action. But this is a piece that accompanies one of the video segments, and I can't tell you anything about it, but it's a wonderful piece of underscore.
Intriguing. It's very intriguing. Okay, so we're going to get some underscore. What are we listening to?
And then after Rescued, there's another piece called Moving On, which also accompanies a video sequence. And really, the reason I want to show this off is, once again, for the strings. It's just I couldn't believe I got this Mantovani sound out of my little tiny apartment with two string players. So, and they're both very Mancini-ish, of course.
Of course.
That's all I can do.
All right, so Moving On, Rescued, and then Moving On from Sean Baker's musical, The Perfect Ten, opening June 5th at Theater on the Square.
Ah. wall. And I don't know what to do. I hit a wall. Maybe I should figure out something. It's like I've got a curse. Or maybe I just got bad allergies. I hit a wall, and I don't know what to do. I hit a wall. Maybe I should figure out something. Twist and turn, you'd think that I would learn, but every time I try, I hit a wall. I hit a wall, and I don't know what to do. I hit a wall. Maybe I should something new. With every twist and turn, you think that I would learn.
Rescued, moving on, and then hit a wall with Wendy Reed. All from Sean's upcoming musical opening June 5th. That's Friday, June 5th at Theater on the Square. For more information, check out tots.org. We'll have the information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz. Sean Baker, you're in the studio with me, Rich Dole. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I've definitely enjoyed talking about everything and listening to all this incredible music. We have time for one more tune. What are we going to listen to?
Well, I didn't want to give away any of the really good songs from the show, but I am going to give this one away because it is kind of the main theme of the show. You've heard some of the musical motifs in some of the last pieces, Rescued and Moving On. But the idea is that through the show, I'm also in therapy, and my therapist instructs me to write a song to get me through the process. And I finally finish writing the song at the same time I've resolved my issues through all of my slapstick splurching. And this is the song that I will be singing in the show, but for the soundtrack CD, I had Gina McLaughlin do a vocal so that I could do a very 1968 Mancini-style arrangement. And this is the, I guess, the love theme from Perfect Ten.
Beautiful.
And it's going to be played as the exit music in the show, this recording, I mean. So it's very much like closing credits. Kind of music.
I like it. All right, well, Sean, thank you very much for coming in, and look forward to the opening night of this show. It's very exciting. Beautiful music. Job well done, my friend.
All right, thank you for having me, and please come see it.
This is where our romance ends. Worst of lovers, but the best of friends. Funny how the murky yesterday is clear today. No regrets or sun will rise, and tomorrow we can start anew like we ought to do. As the years go by, I'll be beside you when you need me. And I know that you will be here too if I should call needing you. Look at who we really are. Hard believing that we've come this far. Hard believing there's a road for us still together.
Have You Heard is recorded and produced by Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer in the studios of WICR. The theme music is by Brent Wallerab from the BWJO album, Mezzanine. Feel free to follow us on facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz, and do join us next Wednesday for another exciting installment of Have You Heard.